Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Obedience to Him, well then, He takes care of you. He looks after you. He leads and guides. It's awesome. Hallelujah. Well, you can take your seat. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, oh, bless them, whatever. Is this loud enough? Is this a little bit quiet? Just a little bit more. Amen. Great. Well, it's great to see you this morning. Great to have you with us. I don't know what's going on, but there's so many people with the flu and COVID and all sorts of nonsense going on at the moment. But anyway, you're here, God's here, we're here, that's all that matters. And so it's great to see you. And I want to share with you, I want to begin just by sharing a verse that's very well known, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. But it was something that I felt the Lord really speak to me about just afresh this week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How many of you know that's hard at times? Look at it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means in every area of your life, acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. And He will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And the word evil there doesn't mean just sin. It means negative things, bad things. Depart from those things. And it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This is to do with your health, your mental health, and your physical health. How we know what goes on in your soul, in your emotions, the way you're thinking, affects you physically. And this is what I say. Listen to what the Amplified says. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. That's a big shift, isn't it? Are we really going to be led by the Spirit? Are we really going to trust God? And is our focus on Him, or is it on the circumstances of life, the things that are going on around about us? In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil, the negative doubt and unbelief. And it shall be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. How many know your marrow is a very important part of your health? So it's a really incredible thing. And how many of you know that, and we've all been through it, the different circumstances of life, the change of seasons and unexpected things that happened and unfulfilled promises and prophecies. How many of you still got prophecies and promises over your life that are unfulfilled? And the scripture talks about, the fact that He shows us the end from the beginning. But what He doesn't explain to us is the journey on the way, which people have referred to as the mystery of the path. And it's in those places where it's so important that we live perspective, the way we see things based on our past experience or whatever else, but that we lean on Him, that we trust Him, that we push into Him. And I don't know about you, but that's a scripture the Lord's brought me back to on and off over the years, and particularly at times when you wonder what the heck's going on. And I'm sure we've all been there from time to time. And it's like, no, don't focus on the natural and natural thinking and all of those sort of things. No, just trust God, lean on His word, stand on His word, lean into Him. He is a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness, we've been singing. And that's so true. And Daryl and I often look back over our life and go, we've lived such a privileged life in so many ways. And yeah, it's been tough at times, but you look back on the tough times and you realize God was there. He brought you through. He provided. He strengthened you, enabled you. He is incredibly faithful. Well, this morning I have a very important announcement to share with you over the next couple of hours. And just to kind of share with you some things that are really part of our journey that we've known for a while. But back in April, I sometimes like to get out of my office in a way and go walk on the beach or something like that and just clear my head and listen to what the Lord's got to say. Is this echoing a bit or something? Or is it just me imagining it? I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. Is it okay? You can all hear. It's all good. And I was walking the beach and the Lord said to me, as clear as anything, it's time to let go. You've laid the foundation in the spirit, in the culture, and in the vision, and now it's time for others to build on it. Now, that might be a little bit of a surprise to some of you, but from the very beginning, our direction and our expectation is that we would plant the church and put the foundation down and then hand over to leadership, to those of God's appointment. And you know, one of the scriptures the Lord's brought us back to over recent months very often is 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, where Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And that's a fairly common pattern for New Testament apostolic leaders of initiating something new in extending the kingdom, planting things, breaking open new ground, whatever it may be, laying the foundation, hopefully building some kind of a team around it and that sort of thing, and then handing it over to other leaders. And it's critical that at such times, both individually and collectively, our focus and our trust and our confidence is in the Lord and not on men. How many know it's very easy to have our focus on people rather than our focus on Him? And we need to get that. And God's purposes and promises never change, but there are different seasons. There are different people to play different roles in the fulfillment of those promises and those purposes. And so after several months of prayer and seeking the will of God and just knowing that we were coming towards the end of our season in this particular role, working together with the Pneuma Global leadership team, we've identified those that we believe God has prepared and appointed to take over from us here on the Sunshine Coast. And so what's going to happen is that we will stand down from our current role at the end of September, and Pastors Glennon and Bleakney will take over from the beginning of October. And I don't know how many of you know Glenn and Lynn very much, but we've known them for a long time. And for several years, since they were leading a church in Perth, and I was involved with them over there. And then when they planted the church up in Vancouver, they're originally from Canada, but they've spent a lot of time living in the States and ministering around the States. And when they planted the church in Vancouver a few years ago, I was part of their leadership oversight and so on. But I didn't expect that they would actually come and take over from us, even though we knew somebody. But to be honest with you, I'm really delighted. This thing's died, I think. Try that one. Oh, we're alive. But I'm delighted to be honest, because Glenn and Lynn are an amazing couple and they really have had an incredible experience and they do have an effective worldwide ministry. And so it's wonderful to think that they're coming here to build on what God has begun. And it's been a real God journey for them. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but back in, probably back in about 2020, in my conversation with Glenn, he was based in Texas and ministering around the States. And he's got a worldwide ministry, literally. And so anyway... back then he was saying to me that I feel like God's calling us back to Australia, to come back to Australia. And then he was asked to come and take over the leadership of a church here on the Sunshine Coast. And in 2022, they came and came up on the Sunshine Coast, and it became apparent that that wasn't what God was wanting them to do. And they had connected up with the Pneuma leadership over a period of time because of Glenn's global ministry expression and Pneuma's global ministry expression and so on. And so they were asked to take over the role that Glenn has currently has as the global apostolic leader for Pneuma. And so they came to live in Melbourne from November last year and fulfill that role. And but at the same time, the Sunshine Coast has always been on their heart. And so I want to share some thoughts with you about transferring the mantle of leadership. I mean, what does the Bible actually teach us about that kind of transition? And what are the principles and what are the patterns and how should we respond to it? And because the intention of God in the change of a season, whether it be in your personal life, in our corporate life, in a church or whatever it is that we go to a next level. How many know God wants to build on what's been established in your life? He always wants to take you to the next level. He's got more for you, regardless of age and whatever else it might be. And so how do we process? Because in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, speaking of God, he says, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And so God initiates the changes both in times and seasons, and he removes leaders and he raises up leaders. And not only does God have specific times and seasons for certain things to occur, but those times present us with a window of opportunity. And the point that we can often miss in life is the opportunity doesn't last forever. And if you recall the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land, they get to the promised land and God's saying to them, okay, now's the time. And they have a look in the natural and they see the giants, they see the opposition, and they go, no, no, we're not going in there. How many know there's always challenges in the future? And if you're not careful, you end up looking at the negatives rather than looking at the positive potential of things. And so they're looking at the negatives, knowing that it is their promised land, it's what God's called them to, but now they're going, no, no, we don't like the look of that. And so they decide they're not going to go. And then a few days later, they decide, oh, no, we will. We changed our mind. There were some things happening. So they go, oh, no, we need to go in. But by then, the door was closed. They couldn't go. They missed the window of opportunity. And that's true for all of us in every aspect of life. And one of the great keys in life is developing the ability to recreate ourselves for the changing seasons of life so that we adjust. And many people don't adjust and they miss out. And, you know, I know as somebody that's, you know, a little bit older than I was 50 years ago, you have to embrace change to stay relevant and change, stay current. Because so many people, when they get old, they become a bit of a dinosaur in terms of their effectiveness in whatever their business or life was, because they become irrelevant and they lose touch with what's going on in society and the shifts that have taken place. How many know the world is always changing? In fact, Daryl and I were talking just yesterday and saying, we can't believe the change, negative change, that's gone on in society in the last 15, 20 years. It's incredible. I'm sure some of you that have been around a few years look at that and you think, man, it's changed so much and so many brokenness, so much brokenness. And so there are many pictures in Scripture that talk about and show us the model of the transference of the mantle of leadership to a new senior leader. You see it with Moses and Joshua, of course. You see it with Elijah and Elisha. You see it with Saul and David. You see it with Jesus to the disciples and then the apostles to the fivefold ministry. You see it with Paul to Timothy. There's pictures all the time of people changing, roles changing, but the purposes of God never change. The promises of God never change. And when God transfers the mantle of leadership, there's some critical things you have to remember. Number one is the mantle of leadership is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual reality. It's a tangible spiritual reality that individuals carry. And it's something you carry. It's very real. And I can remember very clearly the day that we handed over the leadership of the church in Auckland after several years. And I remember on that Sunday when it was our last Sunday, sort of handing the church over to the leaders that were taking over from us. And I felt after, as we were walking out the door of the church after a time of fellowship and whatever, and walking out the door, and I really felt like a weight physically had lifted off me. It was like I had a big backpack on, you know, and it was gone. I remember walking out and feeling like, wow, this feels, you know, I feel so light and free and easy. And sometimes people don't realize it, because in changing in senior leadership role in the spirit is not like a secular job or career change. It's entirely different. There's a spiritual reality that happens when you pick up a senior leadership role. There is a burden that comes upon you for people, for the region, and for the purposes of God. And that's a real thing. And if you don't embrace that and pay the price for that and walk in that, you will never see the fulfillment of the thing that God's trying to do. You become a restriction rather than a catalyst for the intention of God. So there are three critical elements to the transference of the mantle. Number one is that it brings in a new season. It's interesting in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. Well, how many know Joshua knew that? It's kind of like, yes. So what's he saying? He's saying that season is over. It's a different day now. Something's shifting. And seasons come and seasons go, both in our personal lives and in our corporate lives. And in our personal lives, God, you know, have seasons for us of particular fruitfulness and effectiveness in certain roles. And then for us personally, our time in this role in planting numerous come to an end, and we're only called to establish the church. And we knew that we weren't meant to lead it long term, beside the fact that I'm getting too old to lead it long term anyway. And so it's a change of season that makes the transference of the mantle essential. And you mustn't measure the future by the past. How many know in our personal lives, if we think about the past in terms of our future, we restrict what God can do and wants to do in and through us. It's a new day. And as we were singing a few minutes ago, His mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day. And you've heard me say it before, because we've been around a while, and sometimes, you know, I'd be going to do something and somebody would say to me, oh, it's easy for you, you've done it before. And I've said many times over the years, if I thought like that, I'd quit. Because every day is a new day in God. We're meant to be led by the Spirit, not led by the past, not led by our preferences, not led by our religious traditions. We've got to be open to the control and leadership of Holy Spirit. And so it requires very often in that new season, a new style of leadership. And you see that with Moses and Joshua. In fact, you see it with all of those ones if you track it through. But Joshua, you know, is an entirely different style of leadership to what Moses was like. He used different methods. He was more militant, and in a sense, he was more strategic in his approach and thinking, not because he was better or that Moses had failed, but rather it was a different season and it required an updated expression of leadership because things change as you move forward. And so even leaders have their use by date in a particular role. People do reach a stage in a particular role where it's time to move on. And over the years, because we've been involved with many churches in many different nations, and I've seen pastors that won't let go, and it's been detrimental to the church. I remember one church that I had a lot of input into in New Zealand years ago, and then I hadn't been there for quite a few years, and I was maybe 4 or 5 years, and I was back there. And I could see the pastor was just not functioning well. When he was up front, he didn't, it was like the anointing on his life for leadership and strategic thinking and all of that vision and that had gone. And I said to his wife, how's he doing? And she said to me, how do you think he's doing? And I said, well, to be completely honest, I said, I think he's either got to touch God and get something fresh, have a fresh encounter, or he's got to get out. And she said to me, will you please tell him? And I knew this guy pretty well. And I sat down with him and we had a discussion and I ended up saying, mate, you've just got to get out of it. You're burnt out, you're finished, it's time to move. And his first question to me was, what would I do? And I said, that shows me that you know you're meant to go. But he was in his mid-60s. And I said, now you're afraid you won't have anything else to do and it's about money or it's about whatever and you know you're meant to go but you won't go. And he kind of looked at me and said, yeah, that's right. And I said, well, are you going to obey the Lord or not, you know? And he stuck around for another probably 6 or 9 months and then he did leave. And I understand that. And then I've seen people leave early because they don't want to pay the price. The pressure gets too much, whatever it might be. So they bail out. And how many know we've got to learn to do the journey, trust God, but when he says it's time to shift, you've got to know that for your own future and purpose of God, and for the future and purpose of God of the church or whatever business or ministry you're in, you've got to move. It's time for a shift. And so often it's because something else has developed and all of those kind of things, and God's got something else for us to do. And Derek and I have had to face and process that ourselves on a number of different occasions, and that's why we've moved around a fair bit. Daria likes to tell people we're living in house number 31, I think, isn't it? 31 or 30, 32. She likes to remind me, we've moved. Now, not all the time was it moving cities. In the early days, we moving around a few within the same city. We bought and sold a few properties and renovated and whatever. But there are different phases in our natural life. You know, we go from being a child to a teenager to an adult to a parent to a grandparent. The different seasons, and it's the same in our spiritual life. And as we grow and we mature through different seasons of life, our effectiveness often shifts. Maybe we discover we're actually more effective in a different expression of ministry. I can remember when I first started in ministry, public ministry, they used to call me an evangelist. And then they'd call me a teacher. And then when we started in itinerant ministry, they called me a prophet. And now for the last 15 to 20 years, different ones have called me an apostle, others have called me a prophet. And at the end of the day, I don't care what anybody calls me. Sometimes people have said to me, how should we introduce you? What should we call you? I said, I don't care what you call me. Call me anything you like. I'm just here to serve. And if it helps, I don't care what you call me. But it was that there were different kind of like the grace of God in my life would change through different seasons. And often that's to meet specific needs. And it's the same for all of us. Are we open to do that journey and all of that kind of thing? And so it means we have to embrace seasons of change in order to be effective in life and ministry, whatever that looks like. And Pastor Glenn and Lynn, they've been going through their own seasons and journey, and they really do have significant ministry stature and capacity. And just as it's time for us to move to a different phase, so it is for Pastors Glenn and Lynn to move into a different phase in their own ministry here on the Sunshine Coast. And the reality is people don't take that kind of ministry leadership calling on for themselves because it costs way too much. And you need to know that God's there. You're doing what? I mean, no, God's only going to look after you and provide for you if you're doing what he wants you to do. He's not going to care for you and provide for you if you're doing what you want to do. In his grace and mercy, he might look after you. But at the end of the day, if you want to know what it is to walk in freedom and walk in the provision of God and those sort of things, you've got to be willing to embrace ongoing change. And Glenn and Lynn and their family have already paid a huge price. They've moved around quite a bit, done a lot of stuff. And the reality is that shepherds really do lay down their life for people. And you know, they've served the church around the world and then come back to Australia, and now they're moving up here and all of that sort of thing. But how many know that relationships only really work on the base of self-sacrificial service? In your marriage, your family, whatever it is. If we're going to serve people and be a blessing to them in relationship, we have to lay down our own life. If I demand my rights, I'm going to infringe your rights. How many work that out? We live in a society where everybody's demanding their own lives, their own rights, you know. And that's why we've got so many broken relationships and broken families and all of that, because everybody's going, oh, I like this and I don't like that anymore and la, la, la. But scripture's pretty clear. No, die to yourself. Come alive to the moving of his spirit and to the will and purpose of God. Walk in his ways, in holiness, righteousness, justice, and truth, in love one another. This is what Jesus said. How are people going to know you're my disciple? Well, by your love for one another. That means we've got to die to serve one another and lay down our lives. And I've known Glenn a little long enough to see them walk through that kind of a journey over many years. And can I just encourage you and say, don't compare Glenn and Lynn or expect or measure their leadership or whatever in relation to ourselves. They're different people. They got different personalities, similar giftings and vision and values and all of that, but it's a different season, and it will involve an emerging expression of leadership. It's just the reality. And that's just part of doing life. But bear in mind, it's the same purpose. As in the case of the transfer from Moses to Joshua, if you look at that story, God re-established the original mission and purpose, and it was a rebirthing of that. It was the same thing they'd talked about and focused on for years, but they'd been wandering in the wilderness. Now, I'm not saying we're wandering in the wilderness, but I'm just saying that there was a different expression in a different season, but it was the same purpose. And they were often obviously from different generations, and they had different perspectives and all of that kind of thing. And Joshua had a lot of experience and had learned a lot of stuff to draw from, but he actually had to lay all that down in order to pick up what God was doing in that season and then lead into what God was doing. And it was the same thing they'd always endeavored. And what I can say to you this morning, and just encourage you, don't lose sight of the prophetic promises and the foundation of the church, the promises God has given us, because God never changes that. It might be a change of season. There might be different people involved in different roles, but he's still the same God, and he still planted the place for the same purpose. And so we need to, it's like we were saying, you know, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord. Don't focus on the natural. Lean into him. And stand, how many know when Paul's saying to the Ephesians and talking about spiritual warfare, he says, having done all, stand on the word. Whether it's the spoken prophetic word of God or the written word of God, no, stand on what God's saying and just rely upon that. And so that the prophetic purpose and promises of God are outworked in each generation and fulfilled as we continue to move ahead. And we have a video that Pastor Glenn put together for us this morning, and we're going to put that up there now. Just go.
Sunshine Coast, can't wait to be with you guys soon. Lynn and I are very excited about moving up to the Sunshine Coast and being your pastors. And we know that God has amazing things in store. It's going to be incredible. And just wanted to share with you guys that our heart is to really build an authentic community where we really get to know one another. We become one. There is a place of unity, of oneness in the spirit that we must prioritize and really go on that journey together, in the sense that we understand what God has called us to do and whom he's created us to be as individual members in the body of Christ. So we're looking forward to spending a lot of time together, doing discipleship, praying together, just hanging out and getting to know one another. And of course, our calling is to see this kingdom advance. Yeah. Our calling and our mission is to see the believers equipped to advance his kingdom as well. There's a place for that, but it literally is the calling and the vision of Fivefold Ministries, not just for us to, you know, recruit people to serve in various roles, like someone has called it church chores, but to actually help you discover and be developed and deployed in your calling. What has God called you to do? And you need to serve out of a place of wholeness. You need to serve out of a place of rest and a place of just love and allowing the love of God to just fill us. We're looking forward to being with you guys, going on the journey together, seeing what God's going to do. We know he wants to see a great outpouring of the Spirit on the Sunshine Coast and beyond. The saints equipped, the body of Christ raised up, the kingdom of God be demonstrated in power. See you soon. God bless you guys.
Yeah. Well, that gives you a bit of an idea as to, you know, what's on their heart. And they will be with us in a fortnight, actually. They'll be up here on Sunday, the 8th of September, and here for the weekend. And we'll be having lunch that day so we can hang out and you can all get to know them a bit better, and they're looking forward to that. But with these kind of things, how should we respond? Well, let me read you from 2 Kings chapter 10, and this is speaking about Jehu. He had just been appointed as the king of Israel. And it says, now when he, Jehu, departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him, and he said to him, is your heart right as my heart is toward your heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. And Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand. So he gave him his hand and he took him up into the chariot. Then he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they had him ride in his chariot. And so here he is, the new king of Israel, and he's just been appointed, and the mantle of leadership's been transferred to him, and he meets this guy, and he asks a critical question. And these are the things, this is how our response has to come. Jehu asked him, have you got the same heart attitude towards me as I have toward you? Are we one heart? And he's typical of a leader in the kingdom of God. He's a heart of love towards the people that he's called to serve and lead. And the condition of his heart is not in question. The attitude's not in question because he's already paid a price that confirms the state of his heart. He knows what he's got involved in. And so, but he does have to ask the question of his potential followers before they can come on board with where he's going. And the different translations, the NIV says, are you in accord with me as I am with you? New Living Translation says, are you as loyal to me as I am to you? A message says, are we together and of one mind in this? So in other words, there's got to be a heart connection that leads to a heart commitment. That's what's got to happen. You've got to have this heart connection out of two things. Number one, you've got to recognize the mantle that people carry. I've often said when people have said to me, oh, I'm moving to this town, do you know a good church? Or how do I find the church I'm meant to be in? And I say there are three things. Number one, you've got to identify the leaders that have got the hand of God on their life, because otherwise you can't follow them. And then you've got to identify with the vision of the house. And then thirdly, you've got to identify with the people. And so there's got to be the recognition of the hand of God on the leader. And then secondly, the heart connections come out of a unity of purpose. You want to be part of the future that they see, that you want to be part of the vision that God's spoken about. And so you want to get on board with them. And the second thing he says, after Jehonadab said, yeah, I've got the same heart attitude toward you as you've got toward me. He says, well, give me your hand. And that's an expression of personal commitment to the person. And to stay in the house and be the future of this place, then all of us, our first commitment must be towards pastors Glenn and Lynn, out of a connection with them. And some people like to get all spiritual when they talk about, oh, I just follow Jesus. Well, Jesus is the head, and you don't have a head without a body. And how are you going to follow God if you won't follow the leaders that he gives us? And all of that, and not only that, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that our own destiny and future potential is always connected to the leaders that we come under. And the way we respond to those who carry favor will determine the favor of God on our own life. And over the years, I've watched many people that because of personal opinion and preferences, they walk away from commitment to leadership or to a church or whatever it may be. And in the end, they don't go anywhere themselves. And then he says to him, you know, get on board. Okay, come on board. This is a commitment to the vision, personal commitment. And so all of this requires a personal response from each of us, a commitment both to the person in the leadership role and to the vision in that order. And we have to make a personal choice and response toward that. And at the end of the day, you either get on board or you get left behind. It's as simple as that. Are we going to engage in the journey that God's called us to, or are we going to walk away? Well, it's up to you. But I would say that we'd be very foolish not to get on board, because we're in for a pretty fantastic ride in the purposes of God. Because I just know, I suppose I'm have an advantage over some, because God has spoken to us so clearly about this when we took this role on, about the future of the place and his intention for Sunshine Coast. I know when we first moved up here 2 years before we had any connection with Numa, the Lord was just talking to us about what was going to happen in the Sunny Coast. And so I know it's not just about this church, but I know it's about the future. And God has a purpose in this church being a significant part in that future of his kingdom and his move across this area. And sure, we'll go through the pressure of processing some change and coping with things that may be a bit different. And maybe some things will take us outside of our comfort zone. But hey, the only time you are growing is when you're outside your comfort zone. So, you know, because if you've got, if all your goals, if your goals, your objectives are not outside your comfort zone, well, you're never going to achieve them. Or you would have already achieved them if they're in your comfort zone. And so it's, you know, just the need to embrace that. And then the fourth thing, you see, he says, see my zeal for the Lord. And it's all about the glory of God and the honor of his name. You getting a bit cold, people? Yeah, we can turn that off. Yeah. And yeah, he says, see my zeal for the Lord. Come on board. Let's see where we're going. Okay, you're coming with me. All right, get on board. Let's, and look at this. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. But it's always about God. It's about the glory of God and the honor of his name. It's not about our preference or choice. It's about the purposes of God. And it's about the honor of his name in this city and region. And it's about the advancement of the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you or what your vision is for the Sunny Coast and for this church together with other churches, but I believe there's going to be a huge harvest coming the Sunny Coast. Yeah. We've just seen so much of that in the Spirit at different times when God's spoken to us. It's not been dozens of people, but hundreds and thousands of people. And you know what? Around the world, that's happening right now. And that's why I wish I had was able to get down to Awakening Australia in Brisbane, because I reckon that's going to be red hot. That's what's happening around the world. And there, like you've heard me say, that in the middle of London just recently, there were 70,000 people gathered. And then there was similar numbers in Paris and up in Scandinavia and different things. There'd be thousands of people being baptized in California, and just a huge thing. And one of the prayers that I prayed for some time, but the Lord took me back to it when we first got involved here, is where it says in Zechariah about ask for rain in the days of latter rain. Well, if you look around, the rain of God is falling in the world. So I'm saying, God, while there's raining out there, let it rain here. Not the rain we've had the last few months. No, rain of your spirit. We've had enough of the wet rain. We just want the rain. Yeah, and it's raining out. So he's saying that. And so the question is, have you got a hard attitude towards Glenn and Lynn like they've got a hard attitude towards them? Because, you know, it'd be toward you. Because, you know, they've paid the price. They're making a big change to come up here and all of that kind of thing. And so it's about time, you know, to when they come, to take their hand and get on board and ride with the purposes of God. Now, I know times of transition have been challenging. We've been through some challenging times, and times that have been very costly in various ways, but God's always brought us through, always been faithful. And it always stretches us, but it's when we're stretched that we grow, we get enlarged. And God grows us internally so that he can increase our external expression. He enlarges us internally so we can have a greater expression externally and all of that kind of thing. And we have to go through transition in order to change and to move on with the purposes of God. So can I just encourage you and say, let's commit to be people who process transition with the correct attitudes and responses to God. Let's take notice of the principles, the warnings of Scripture, and let's be people that embrace the future with an absolute trust and confidence in God and not lean on our own understandings, our own preferences, and our own wisdom. And just to let you know, it's not easy for us either. I mean, we've known from the beginning that we were only doing this for a period of time. And that was the plan right from the beginning, was what God said to us and all of that kind of thing. But when it comes to actually doing it, we were praying about it last night and Daryl was crying. And because it's not easy, you know, we love you guys. We love what God's doing, the people we've met. And now, and just to make something clear, we are not we're not planning to leave the church. We started this journey with the idea of handing over, but we've always felt that we were meant to be assuming a role of lesser responsibility in the place, because we have responsibility nationally and internationally, and we have felt right from the beginning there would be a time when we would need to get more involved in that. And the NUMA, the global leadership team, And the prophetic leaders of NUMA believe that God has shown them that the time is right for us to make the transition, and that Pastor Glenn and Lynn are the right people. And as I said a moment ago, we're not planning on leaving the church. In fact, Pastor Glenn asked us to remain involved. And in fact, when he was coming here to take over that other church in September of 2022, he asked us a few months ahead, look, would we come and be part of the team there with him and all of that sort of thing. But at that point, obviously, we don't know what that looks like, and we've just got to, you know, walk with them and walk with you, but at the same time be open to what God is saying to us and leading us to for this next season of our own life and ministry. And the timing is right. God's initiated this transition, and God has it all under control. Amen. He's still on the throne, and he's a faithful God. John 10 and verse 10, you know very well. Jesus said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And my purpose is that we might have life and have it more abundantly, or as this translation says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm a good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So let's make sure that through this transition, we don't allow the enemy to steal from us and destroy the foundation that God has been building in the place, and don't let him rip you off individually or rip us off corporately. Amen. How we know in times of transition, we're always vulnerable. It's a great opportunity for the enemy to come in and try and bring division, unsettle, and do all that kind of thing. And so we need to be careful that we don't give the enemy a platform. Amen. And he will come and attack your mind, and there'll be things that'll happen that you may or may not like. Well, just get over it and trust God and keep walking. That's the way. And, you know, I often say that my story is really about the cross of Jesus. And I look back, and my brother Jim's here. He's 20 years older than me, but no, he's actually 3 years younger. I better be honest. I better tell the truth. But we came through a pretty difficult childhood and youth, and in a family situation that was poverty and fear-ridden and all those sort of things. But I discovered the exchange that could take place at the cross, and he did too. And I can stand and give witness today and say to you, the Bible is true, God is real, Jesus did die to bring us life, and you can forgiveness and healing, and he provides for every need, and we can trust him. We can trust him individually and corporately. And here's the thing, life flows from his presence. Time in his presence, time getting to know him, time in his word, and learning to think his thoughts, speak his words, and walk in his ways. And he says in John 14 and verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. How do you know? That's a decision. Now, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, he says. Now, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Jesus. And then he says in John 15, verse 4 and 5, abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. How many know when the branches get separated from the vine, they die? There's no life. There's no flow. No, we've got to abide in him. It's in his presence that life flows. And so that's where we're at, and that's the journey we're on. And, you know, as I said to you before, for Dowry and I, it's a time of mixed emotions again, but we knew this is the right time. And I have to say to you, I am really honestly delighted that Glenn and Lynn are coming up here. And some of that is because we've known them for a fair while, but the other thing is because it makes the transition easy, because they're so experienced, they've ministered in so many different situations around the world, and they have two ministries of their own. One is called Awakened Nations, and the other one is called Kingdom Community. And so they're involved in a lot of things. I was involved with him with Kingdom Community when he first launched it, and they're literally last time I had a look at it, there's about 7,000 people around the world that are part of that community, mainly pastors and leaders. And so there's a ministry expression. And I say all of that to say that you can trust them. They've been around, and they know, you know, they've been involved in a lot of church plants. and helping church planters and all of those sort of things, so they understand all that journey, but at the same time they really have a heart for people because they know God has brought them back to Australia. And one of the frustrations they've had with what's gone on in Numa and the global thing is that they haven't been able to build the you know, the church and the team and that sort of thing that's really in their heart to do. And in fact, just recently, just a few months ago, they started Numa North Melbourne. So they planted a Numa church there. And so part of this journey has been getting somebody to take that over. But of course, because it's close to the main city and the Wapea city church, well, relatively close, there were people travelling into the city that are now part of the north location. And but I just want to encourage you that, you know, you can trust them and it's all good. And I'm excited. I am, because I think you'll find that when they come, there's going to be a few people will come with them, because they're pretty well known, not just around the coast, but from Melbourne. And there are people that have made a noise about wherever you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at numa.church. Thanks for listening.